Hello, good day, welcome everyone. This is another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast, and this is the podcast all about the Pioneer format, where we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am joined here by Ryan, as well as a returning guest.
Is this where I introduce myself?
Sure.
I guess so. This is Jonathan Medina. How's it going, everybody?
And if Jonathan's on the show, you guys know what that means. Although I'm cutting off Ryan here. Why don't you go quick introduce yourself?
Oh, yeah. Everybody knows who I am. I'm the cardboard samurai. I'm the Japan hobbyist. I'm Ryan Schwenk. But yeah, we just had him on a couple episodes back, right?
Yeah, we had him on a couple episodes back. So, you know, at that time I said, okay, if you know if Jonathan Medina's on, you know, that means that we are reviewing new cards. That last time, that was a lie because we were reviewing new cards. This time, we're actually reviewing new cards. If you guys are listening to it, you know what it is. It's Strixhaven spoilers, and there's a brand new set of Magic cards. Our favorite thing to do is go through them and figure out, hey, what are going to be the hits in Pioneer? What's going to affect the existing decks? What's going to spawn new archetypes? What's going to be a role player here and there? Etc., etc.
Before we jump into this, overall, how do you guys feel about Strixhaven? Like, how much of an impact do you think
there's too much text on the cards?
Pioneer.
I think there's too much text on the cards, man. It's just like, come on. Like, I was preparing for this thing just so listeners know. We're kind of doing this a little bit early because they got us a spoiler early, which means that I had to do a lot of cramming to get ready for this exam. Mm. And, man, it was tiring reading, like, just reading the cards, you know? Just a lot of, you know, if this happens, then this and that. So when that, the whole point I'm talking about that because when the set is like that, it's hard to determine like its impact, right? Because one line of text can change things, you know, in how it plays out.
Yeah.
And it's hard to like get your mind to grok it all, you know?
I always forget that last line of text on something, you know, especially like over here in Japan and whenever I played, you know, in paper and I'm like, oh, it does that too? Jeez, I totally skipped over that. It's one thing to be able to read in English, Japanese to have to remember.
For me,
all
it's
of
like
it.
Reach on the what's that that X creature that used to be in Hardened Scales? Oh man, I'm forgetting the name of it, but you know what I mean. It has like 100 lines of text on it, and it has reach. It's like trample and reach.
Protection, multicolor. The XX. Yeah,
love those. Yeah, you know, and if you guys do like those kind of weird, like, extra lines of text, we've actually got a spot in the Discord just for, you know, I tend to, as we go through the spoiler season, playing with some new cards, we're like, hey, you know, this card does this weird interaction with this, just as a shout out to that.
Is that the Kevin's Corner Cases thing?
Yeah. Okay. Gonna quick give my kind of overall, I'm actually pretty low on this set, as far as, like, raw power level, so I like a lot of what this set is doing. Mm-hmm. I feel like for a lot of the color combinations, they did things that I wish that they had explored more, you know, like I love the color combination red and white, but I don't like Boros. You know, Boros aggro is very low to the ground, go wide creatures. That's not my kind of red white. I like a slower, more grindy red white. That's one of my favorite color combinations. I think that Strixhaven did that excellently. That said, if they're looking at, you know, red white has kind of graveyard shenanigans in this, you know, we've got things like green black life gain, but it's kind of all self-contained. You know, if you've only got one set with green-black life gain, it's going to be hard to make a Pioneer deck of green-black life gain because you don't have 20 sets that you can call on. Whereas if you're trying to build Boros aggro, you've got the entirety of Magic, for the most part, to call on. So, you know, I think that a lot of kind of mechanics, you know, like Lesson Learn is very self-contained. Some of the archetypes they're trying to push were very self-contained. You know, there's not a lot of things like Tribes, which can often be across different sets. So I feel like it's not going to bring a lot of new archetypes. I feel like the raw power level of cards isn't that high. I'm pretty low on this set as far as major impacts in the format. But that said, there's a lot of cards I like. I'm excited to go through this. But as we go through the set here, I'll definitely try and, you know, we've got a lot of cards on our list to talk about.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and be a little bit conservative and be, you know, the no fun stickler. So if you're going over a card and I'm just sitting here like, I'm just going to say, hey, right away, tell me, does this have a home? Will this ever have a home? And if it's really no, let's try and not spend too much time on that card.
Okay.
Even if it's a cool card, we'll try and keep it pretty quick.
Just letting you know ahead of time, I do have some Timmy cards in here I wanted to talk about.
I know. Absolutely. And I know I've got some weird corner cases that probably won't show up. Yes. But giving you guys that heads up right away, you know, we got about 5 minutes of this intro, and then we are going to be ready to dive in to spoilers for Strixhaven.
Yeah, I'm ready to jump into them if you want to.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, let's go right into it. So nothing unusual. We're going to stick with Wooburg and then go over the multicolors?
Yes.
Okay, that's how I've got it right now in our... Yeah. We're kind of all looking at a document here. So we're going to try and do our Wooburg colors. We're going to go over the multicolored cards, anything other. And if hopefully we'll have time to run through our top five. Otherwise, we'll end up tweeting those out. Generally, we try and do that at the end. But depending on time crunches, that sometimes gets crunched out. Who wants to start us off?
I always say let the guest go.
Detention Vortex. It's one white. It says enchant non-land permanent. Enchanted permanent can't attack or block, and its activated abilities can't be activated. And then it's three, destroy Detention Vortex. Only your opponent may activate this ability, and only as a sorcery. So I just see this slotting into the Auras deck. I think it's a great like tool for that kind of deck. Shuts down planeswalkers, right? Enchanted permanent, so they can't use activated abilities. Can't attack or block, so it's a nice way to remove a blocker, just a one mana white spell to remove a blocker. It's a very tempo oriented card because the person can remove it, right? It's the kind of thing like where I could see the Auras deck using it, you know, not for like a long term solution to something, but like, oh, let's just tempo this, get this swing in, you know, this kind of thing.
And I was also going to say, you know, we had Void Snare, I think, the one mana blue spell that kind of saw a lot of play like the older formats. This maybe? I mean, of course, in the older formats, white gets like Path to Exile and stuff like that. But I like that it hits all permanents. I definitely would have this on my list of possible playable cards.
I was ready to write this off. I was going to call you out on, does this have a home? I can see Auras. It's definitely a tempo card, which I think is an interesting way to go for white. Maybe we can find some kind of combo where like we have a way to punish them for activating abilities. So even if they do activate this, you get to like draw a card or deal them two damage or something.
Got him.
I have a question real quick. Now, if they pay the three mana on the stack, can you like blink this and then reattach it to something else?
Yes. So it is three colon. So that means anything after it is an ability that goes onto the stack.
Nice.
So it's not like three sacrifices.
And they have to use their turn to do, not their whole turn, but they have to do this in their turn, right? So like if you like put it on a creature to swing through, right? They can't just like pay three and sack it, right? They destroy it to be proper, you know? They have to wait until their turn, and then on their turn they have to pay three, which is a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe the issue is, you know, if you played this on a Planeswalker, which is kind of the one nice thing about it, is that, you know, they still got value when they activated it the first turn, and they can still get value after they get rid of it. So, like, I worry about really getting enough value out of this, but I'd be interested to see it if you're going to play some Auras. I'd love to see a one of or two of this in there.
All right, my turn then next. Is that okay, Kevin?
Yeah, go ahead.
Because you got a lot of stuff on here I saw that I'm like, okay. But anyways... I like Elite Spellbinder. It's a 3/1 for three mana. It's a flying human cleric, and when it enters the battlefield, you get to look at your opponent's hand, and then you can exile a non-land card from it. And then, as long as it's exiled, your opponent can play it, but they have to pay an extra two mana to cast. So again, great tempo card. It's humans, which means it's a relevant tribal, you know, card, I think. It's got flying, it's got evasion, which is nice. So it's going to be difficult to block. And, yeah, I mean, you know, this with, like, a lot of the other kind of tempo cards that we have, even, like, in, like, the blue-white flyers, you know, with Spellqueller and stuff like that, you could maybe really make a good Collected Company deck now, or just... you know, keep on going with like blue-white flyers. So I'm really kind of excited about this type of
card. Yeah, I know how Collected Company isn't really seeing much play in the Pioneer format right now. This will probably put it over... I'm just joking, actually. it's pretty prevalent, right? Yeah, so like...
Yeah. But not in the you know, Spirits Flyers deck, though. Not so much. People just been playing mainly blue-white.
Yeah, you know, most of the Collected Companies, it's like mono green, maybe green blue, or it's the Jund Sacrifice deck. I don't really, you know, finding white will be interesting to find if it has a home. Mm-hmm. I do think this is one of those few like really raw power cards from the set that I am really excited about. I think that, you know, give it a chance to try it out. That ability is a lot stronger than it appears on first glance and will definitely be a great tempo card.
Yeah. And even like if you're still playing other tempo cards, so they pay that extra 2 mana to play it, and then you spell queller it, or you do some other thing, and you're just, this is going to lead to some rage quits.
Yeah, it strikes me as the kind of card that you would want in that aggressive kind of deck, just to keep them off of Wrath for a turn or something like that, just like you put your team down, and then you whether it's like mono white knights or something like that, or blue white spirits or whatever, you put the team down, you drop this guy, and then like steal their Wrath for a minute, and then just smash them until they tap out for the Wrath, and then punish them with some other effect.
Yes.
And maybe you can find some synergies. There's some trinket text, like there's a spirit that if your opponent casts a spell from exile, you draw a card. So any spell they cast that this guy exiled would be a card draw.
Nice. Kevin's corner case.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Got to shout it out. I'm going to go ahead with one of mine that I definitely put on here. Is a mythic from the set. This is Mavinda, Student's Advocate. It is the owl, this bird advisor. It's a 2/3 flyer for 3 mana. It has the ability, you can cast. So you pay 0, you target a spell in your graveyard, an instant or sorcery, and then you can cast that instant or sorcery this turn. And if it's not a spell that targets a creature, that's it. But if it does target a creature, it costs 8 more to cast. So kind of weird. Basically, forget about the 8 part. They just wanted to make it so you can still target other things. But basically, you can cast an instant or sorcery from your graveyard that targets a creature you control every turn, both your turn and your opponent's turn. One and only home for this that I really see it is that this seems to go right hand in hand with Feather. All of those cards in that deck are instants and sorceries that target your own creatures. You get this guy into play and you've got a single God's Willigan sitting in your graveyard. You can just hold up this ability, and at any time your opponent can't target your creatures with removal because you would just go, okay, Rebuy God's Willing, play it. Your turn and their turn. So like just a really crazy card.
What's that saying? Birds of a feather?
Nice. We need the ba-dum-bum.
Yeah.
Is Feather a bird? I don't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I thought. So
I think it's cool. One thing is you still have to have the mana, right? It's not cast the card for 0. You activate the ability for 0, and then you still have to pay the mana to target. So that's important, right? It's important. The other thing is it exiles it, which I guess does. Well, Feather exiles it, but then puts it in your hand, right?
Oh, no.
Okay. So, yes, Feather's replacement, you get to choose which one you replace it with. So if you have Feather and this in play, you can activate Mavinda's ability, exile something from the graveyard, it'll end up back in your hand.
This is kind of more like an Arcanist ability then, except you can use it on your opponent's turn as well.
Arcanist, you didn't have to pay for it, so that is kind of the advantage there. Okay. But yeah, it's a little bit that same
that's
kind of
what I would put it up against in the Feather deck, right? Is Arcanist, is this... First of all, is Arcanist legal in Pioneer? I know they banned it in Legacy, right? Yeah. Yeah, they banned it in Legacy. Yeah, it but like in Pioneer, you can still play Arcanist. And it's like, would you rather have an Arcanist over this?
Yeah.
At some point, you start getting to the area where you have like 600 guys or birds in your deck. And like how many instants or sorceries, right? The breakdown has to be... more slanted toward the instant sorceries for these things to work, right? Or you start running into that, the problem of the +1/+1 counter decks, right? Where you have two guys and then you have enablers, and you're like trying to get the right mix every time you draw your hand, which starts to become problematic, right?
So interesting card. I'll just keep it at that. I think there's a lot of potential for it, and maybe like some new mid-range version
I'll put a plug in there for the Naya version that runs the green enchantment that I think it scries when you do it. And does it scry and draw, or does it just scry? There's a green enchantment that the Naya Feather deck was running, and I could see this kind of card going in that mid-range style deck like that, the Naya version.
All right, so that was your turn, Kevin. I think we're back to Jonathan.
I like this clever Luminancer. Is that Luminance? Luminancer? Is that how you say it? Yeah.
Luminancer?
So it's a one white. It's a 0/1, and it has Magecraft. Whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, it gets +2/+2 until end turn. So it's like a step length for spells. Not a lot of like free spells in Pioneer, but even just a couple of spells makes this thing a 4/5, you know, just like two spells. And so like, you know, really interesting. I wonder if it would find a home. Right now, I can't see it like having a home, but, you know, if there was like a red white deck that used burn spells, or like a blue white tempo deck with like unsummons, or, you know, Brazen Borrower or stuff like that. You know, I just think it's really powerful, and it seems like it could find a home, or even there's a couple other cards that are kind of like it. So I think there could be an archetype out there. Maybe we don't have all the pieces yet, but you know, there's like a white black spell archetype kind of, you know, poking its head out, I think.
Yeah. And I think we can quick mark off a couple others in this list here that kind of fit that same deck, if it exists. There's like, there's a 2-mana version that gives all of your creatures +1/+1, but it's a 2/2 base. There's also like the Show of Confidence, which is like +1/+1 counter on a creature. It gains vigilance, and then you copy the spell once for each other instant or sorcery you've cast this turn. So if you were able to go like spell into this on turn 3, it would be 2 counters and vigilance, and it would, you know, double pump your team. Nice. So okay, you go turn 1, turn 2, and then this on turn 3. You know, he'd be a 4/5 with 2 counters. The other one would be it'd be bigger than that. You know, that's theoretically something. It seems like a nice curve out, but I'm not sure if there's enough.
There was like a type. If you combo this with the red creature from Kaldheim. Now all the names of cards are just becoming slush in my brain. I think it's every time you play Bergy. If you with Bergy, every time you play spell, you get a red mana, right? So like, if you have a lot of those 1-mana red spells that cantrip, right? You can really see some explosive things. You know, it's kind of like that Prowess deck that was in Modern for a bit, you know, where you're just like, they would use Steamkin and a bunch of those red 1-mana spells like Crash Through and stuff like that, you know. You know, some of the pieces for that kind of deck are coming together, right, in this format. So it's be interesting.
So is this like a one of win con in our Lotus Field deck after we well, cast?
Well, no, I'm just
spells.
Saying like if you have like, you know, Bergy and this in play, you know, and then you cast 3 of these, you know, spells that draw a card and give it trample and give it haste or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, that's 6 power you're smashing through, and you still have a hand, right? Like, you know, I think it's like there's a viability there to it. You know, I don't know if it's like, you know, and Steamkin's in the format too, and you know, there's other stuff, you know, that you could be doing. So it's interesting. I don't know if it's a archetype. I haven't done a lot of thinking about it, but I know that in Modern, you know, having those prowess creatures was a thing, you know.
Definitely hard to kill it too if you're doing damage, or even block it if, you know, you've got a 3/2 in play and they attack with this. You're like, well, if they've got 2 spells, it's,
right.
It's,
and that's one of
creature.
The things that was with the Modern deck. It was kind of like you can't really bolt some of these things, right? Because if they have open mana, then they're just gonna make them huge, right?
So yeah, I definitely see the clever Lumimancer in decks maybe like Feather or something like that. But I wonder, in like red white burn, would this be good enough to play in it? I mean, you know, maybe alongside of Monastery Swift Spear. Or is it not having haste?
I don't know if it would be like
deterrent.
A burn deck per se. It would probably be more like a prowess deck, right? Where you're just trying to get off a bunch of 1-mana spells that pump the creatures, and then, you know, and then you get in there with it, you know.
And the clever, I was going to say, not the clever, the Arcanist cast from the graveyard, right? So you would still get the Magecraft ability?
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I like it.
All right, I think it's your turn, Ryan.
Ooh, we're almost into jank territory here. I think we are.
I hope not yet.
Okay, Sparring Regimen, I'm kind of interested in. It's a 3-mana enchantment, and when it enters the battlefield, you get to learn. So you get to bring a lesson card from outside of the game into your hand. So it's like a free card, I guess, if you find a lesson card that's worth playing. And the main effect is whenever you attack, you put a +1/+1 counter on target attacking creature and untap it. So I know I've been talking, you know, in past, past set reviews about possibly moving the Hardened Scales deck away from green-black and into green-white. It seems like we've gotten a lot of green-white Hardened Scales type cards in the recent sets. So I think this is just another one of those possibilities. I don't think it's going to be playable, but I think once the right amount of critical mass, you know, like 1 and 2 drops becomes available, I think this could actually be pretty good.
It's funny, every time now that I look at a card like this and think about Hardened Scales, it's because of you, because you're always pushing the green-white variant, you know. But in the end, like, yeah. I don't think that could ever be a deck because it doesn't have Thoughtseize, you know what I mean? And, like, Hardened Scales did not have a problem with putting 1-1 counters on creatures. It did that pretty well. The problem it has, you know, is just that it's not, that strategy is not powerful enough in combination with the fact of that whole draw the wrong half of your deck problem. But I think one of the necessary things to make a deck like that work is a Thoughtseize, right?
I guess we do need to have Abzan then if we're going to make it. But we got some good black-white cards.
Well, let's talk about the other part of this card, which is this lesson learned thing. And I think for me it's been one of the hardest things to evaluate of whether or not they're any good. You know, that makes me want to say, okay, well, then they're probably bad if I can't immediately say, like, hey, there's some good stuff here. But it is something I've got, you know, the little bit of hope for. It's kind of like, you know, how I was like, oh, man, I bet there's going to be one thing good with Mutate, right? Like, there's got to be something good in that weird mechanic. I'm hoping this is kind of there where, like, maybe it's not good, but maybe one or two cards we'll see play. If there is a good one, I think the one that I'm most looking at is actually another white card here. The Professor of Symbology is 1 and a white, 2/1 core cleric that, when it enters battlefield, learn. So if that's 2-mana draw card on a 2/1... that's a creature I'm very, very excited for white. If it's 2-mana, 2/1, less than draw card, then I'm pretty about it. If it's better than draw card, because there's some things that I always want to find in certain situations, then maybe it's great. But I think that I haven't been able to yet determine whether or not there's anything valid in learn. So I did include a lot of the lessons kind of on our sheet to look at, just to be like, hey, you know, we talked about this 1 or 2 learn card. Let's look at this card as we're going through it and see, does this make
sense? So you're looking at this like a Silver Gilladep?
Yeah, I mean, if this is a Silver Gilladep, that's great, right? I mean, Silver
Gilladep is drawing blue cards, right? So, like, that's better, right?
You can play this in blue.
I don't know. I think that's an interesting take on it. I'm not saying it's bad interesting. I'm just saying, I never thought of it like that. Because when I saw it on the list, I'm like, this is poop. This card is poop. But when you say Silver Gilladep, then I go, am I wrong? I don't know.
Yeah, so just looking at, like, the mono white ones, and I will just, you know, as we go through some colors, like, just run through these learn cards. Like, there's a 1 white opponent can't cast spells with a certain name this turn, or opponent, you know, you can tap a permanent and it, well, you know, you choose a permanent and it can't attack, block, or activate ability's turn. So, you know, that's probably less than a card, but maybe that can win you a game. There's also like a 3-mana exile a non-land permanent. Its controller gets a 3/2 spirit.
Yeah, that's a sorcery. Both of these are sorceries.
Yeah, they're both sorceries. You know, I can see times where Reduced to Memory will win me the game because I, you know, get rid of their Niv and swing for lethal or something like that. But yeah, I got to see the deck first. And yeah. I'm not sure if I've got it in mind.
Yeah, it just feels like with this card, at least, you're getting a 2/1 that isn't really great. And, you know, you're getting half a card most of the time, which is, you know, not really a good trade-off for playing a 2/1 for 2, right? It just feels like, you know.
And spending, you know, 4 to 5 sideboard.
Yeah, cards. And then you have to take up the slots in your sideboard. It feels very mana intensive. I think the learn stuff will be more of a mid-range to control thing, right? Like, it feels like those decks have more mana to spare than decks that want 2/1s. You know what I mean? The decks that want 2/1s feel like they want to close that window before you get into that mid-range and then up territory. Because as that starts happening, the game just slips away from those decks that are trying to be aggressive, right?
I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, I feel like that argument could be made for a reason why Thraben Inspector is bad. And I think we all know Thraben Inspector turned out to be
I don't think this is the same as Thraben Inspector, right? Because, first of all, Thraben Inspector is a one drop, which is a huge difference between one and two mana. It's very and then the other thing is that you're drawing a card, an actual card, not a half a card, right, with the Thraben Inspector. This is a card in your deck, and it's, you know, that kind of thing is like, I guess what I would say is that, hey, when you're drawing a card out of the deck, it's better than one of these lesson cards, which is kind of like a hamstring card. It's a card that's like not a full card. You wouldn't play it in your main deck. So like, with the Thraben Inspector, you put the pressure on early, and then when you get wrathed or whatever, you can cash in that token and get a card from your deck of equal quality, right? Or better quality, rather, you know, than one of these learn cards or lesson cards.
And that's where I'd have to see if there's any of that toolbox well enough to make it good. But yeah, like I said, if I'm not sold on it, I'm probably low on the mechanic. Mm.
So do you guys mind if I ask you if I choose the next card and have you guys give me your opinion on it?
Sure.
So Strict Proctor is a 1/3 for 2 mana. It's a flying spirit cleric, and whenever a permanent enters the battlefield, whenever a permanent entering the battlefield causes a triggered ability to trigger, you counter it unless your controller pays 2. So it's kind of like a Torpor Orb effect, but it also, like, you know, it doesn't seem like you want to be playing this in spirits because it's going to stop the ability of, you know, like a Rattle Chains and the other ETB cards. So like, I don't know, maybe you guys have a little bit more experience playing with like Torpor Orb and stuff like that. Like, why would you want to play this? What would it stop in Pioneer?
So it's exciting that it stops everything, so it's not just creatures or, you know, usually just be creatures, so this will stop artifacts, this stops enchantments, which it stops a lot of things with enchantments. You know, any of those Yorion decks, it would pretty much shut those down. Like, they might even have trouble killing this. But that said, you guys know how white is not a very good color in Pioneer. The exception to that are the white spells that remove things like the, Skyclave Apparition.
Yeah.
And all the things that you would normally want to play in a white deck. So I'm like, this card's really good. I think this card could be really good. But the problem is that the cards that it'll be good with don't work with it. So like, I don't know, this does not have a home at all.
The interesting thing is it stops all of them, right? So even negative triggered abilities that you would control, right?
Mm-hmm. You can play this in Lotus Field, maybe,
right?
In so some Lotus weird build of Lotus Field,
like other things that would have you like sacrifice a creature or, you know, negative things that are supposed to have drawbacks, you can turn the drawbacks off with this, so it could find a place in one of those situations.
Croxa,
I mean, Torpor Orb was huge when Splinter Twin was around, right? Because, you know, the Splinter Twin deck, you know, obvious reasons, right? So like, this is a good safety valve for like combos like that might rear their head in Pioneer, you know, to like stop them.
Ooh,
so Saheeli Ryan Banwen.
What?
So Saheeli Ryan Ban.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing.
No, it would not be okay.
Federal Sovereign and Bans, yeah.
It's also probably not great against the Fire Zeorian deck because they tend to have open mana.
Now, this doesn't stop the Sagas, right? Because that's just on draw.
It does not stop Sagas because Sagas are as they enter with the counter, so it does not stop the initial tick up.
But everything else, like, you know, cast out or, you know, you're banishing, was it O-rings and stuff like that, it would stop.
Yeah. So it's probably pretty good against white decks, which there's just not a lot of. You know, it's great against Siege Rhino.
There we go. And it just got back in the top 10.
All right, we've spent, you know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes here on white, and that is one of our 10 colors we're going over.
Well, so 11, it is the best 11 color, sections,
so let's keep moving here. I do think that white was probably a little stronger this time than usual. You know, I had only put one blue card on my list here.
That's crazy. Like, there's nothing on our blue, red, and black list.
Yeah, I mean, what we've got there, I think, is too much even.
Yeah. I think I only added one, so.
Well, can I move to blue? Can I do the one blue card that I thought was worth talking about?
Go ahead.
I said Symmetry Sage. This is a one mana. So, you know, there were only like 7 1 drops in the entire set, like 7 1 mana cards in the entire set because they don't print things for constructed. I don't know. But it's a one mana, 0/2 flying. But whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery spell, target creature you control has base power 2 until end of turn. So you cast one spell, you can make itself into a 2/2 flying. That seems good. And then, of course, what I want to think about it is that if you're playing this alongside other prowess creatures, most of those are one power. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them are even zero power. I feel like you cast two spells in a turn, you'll probably get 3 power out of this. So that's like a better prowess almost. Yeah.
It's okay. Almost a Delver.
It's not bad. So I can see that.
Almost, yeah. There you go.
My choice, basically the only one I really added to this list was Test of Talents. I kind of see this as like a much better negate. So it says counter target instant or sorcery spell, search its controller's graveyard, hand, and library for any number of hands with the same name as that spell and exile them. That player shuffles, then draws a card for each card exiled from their hand this way. So 2 mana instants. That counters any instant or sorcery. Yeah, you kind of lose the ability of, you know, not being able to counter a planeswalker, you know, that you would if you had negate. But still, this just seems so much better. The upside seems so much better. What do you guys think?
To me, it's another one of those safety valve cards, right? Like, if there's some kind of instant or sorcery-based deck that's wreaking havoc, right, you can always have this. And it's like the Quash of the format or whatever, the little, not that Quash seen a lot of play, but you know, it's kind of like, where did I see this played before? There was a time where Quash was played against an instant or sorcery to just like clear them out, you know? It's not so effective against things like Lotus Field because there's like, you know, they can run it with like one of win conditions and a lot of times they're in the sideboard, right? Unless you, I guess you can get granted with it, right? You can remove granted.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you choose granted, you won't be able to find
That's a good point.
Those are not the same.
So, yeah, so I don't think there's anything in the format now, right, that this is really good against.
Thoughtseize.
Yeah, like in Standard, I could see this being good against something like the Sultai Ultimatum. You know, that's basically a one-card win con, and this could answer that. I don't think we've got that same kind of deck in Pioneer right now.
Bring to Light,
that means that this is
like
too narrow.
Thoughtseize.
You know, Negate's not... Yeah, you know, Bring to Light's okay. You know, I've seen people who will, you know, spend a card to exile all the Bring to Lights, and that has never felt great, in my opinion. They can still just find.
Did you guys not hear when I said Thoughtseize?
But what are you doing if you're countering a Thoughtseize?
Well, like if you're playing against Black Red Arcanist and they're just going to keep casting their stuff from the graveyard over and over again, you use that, and then that is
I would not do that.
Tempo.
Yeah, but if they just play Stitcher Supplier and Kroxa, like this sitting in your hand, never see play. Like, I think that it's just too narrow. You're like, negate's already pretty narrow for the format.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see a ton of negate played. I think that this is a step down all from right. there overall. All
right. Okay.
All right. I'll talk about my card. I'm saying, hey, it's a safety valve. I think this thing could see play eventually. I'm not saying it's, you know. My card that I actually added this to the list because it wasn't on there. Serpentine Curve. All right. This is 3 and a blue. It's a sorcery. Create a 0/0 green and blue fractal creature token. Put X11 counters on it where X is the number... is 1 plus the number of total instants and sorcery cards you own in exile in your graveyard. So like one of the pivot moves for Phoenix decks, right, is to board in more of the Drake, the red blue Drake, right? And the reason why,
yeah.
See, I was sitting here wondering if you've heard of the Crackling Drake, because I feel like Crackling Drake is just so much better. So
I don't think it's better. I just think you want more, right? Like you could just board two. Like I would put 2 of these in and 4 Crackling Drakes, right? The deck already runs. I don't know if it still does, but like there was a time you ran 2 main and like 2 in the board, right? And then like when they brought in their graveyard hate, you would, you know, maybe bring the 2 of those in, you know? And I could see like just bringing 2 of those and 2 of these in and like boarding out your phoenixes, you know, because like their graveyard hate does nothing, right? They're rest in peace to you, and then you have just huge beaters.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay. I could see that. You know, and also right. It's a sorcery, so it adds...
a really much worse copy 5 and 6 of Crackling Drake.
So, draws a card. Drake has flying. I mean, it's like, it's really good.
And
it
draws a card enters battlefield. Like, those are two really big upsides.
But, like, one of the cool things about the Crackling Drake was that exile clause, right? Because it helps you sidestep that graveyard hate, which inevitably people bring in, right? And I think that, like, it's one of those things that it's like, what is your opponent going to do? Not bring in the graveyard hate, right? Against the Phoenix deck, like, so this just kind of puts them in a bad situation, because it also gets big like those other things, and itself is an instant or sorcery, so it does feed the Crackling Drakes, you know. I mean, I'm not saying it's like you know, the best thing since sliced bread. I'm just saying, you know, I would think about it, you know, in the sideboard as a full pivot plan, you know.
All right, that's interesting. It's definitely another corner case Kevin's for a card that case. I would not have included. So I'm glad we've got Discord. You here, given your insight. No, I am glad. Like, this is definitely some good insight.
I think I might have added those other two cards. I'm not sure. I don't know.
That's fine. We can skip on. I think I didn't have anything else in blue that I thought was good. But if you want me to say
we should reject those other
cards. All right, I can quick read this one that you're talking about. So reject is one in a blue for an instant counter a creature or planeswalker spell unless its opponent your controller plays three. If it's countered that way, exile instead of putting it in a graveyard.
So it's a
I'm low on this card. I think that, you know, even if this was, you know, mono leak, so mono leak is already conditional. If you're adding only creature or planeswalker to an already conditional card, that's just too many conditions.
I think Ryan just wanted these to go with his test of talents, you know, so he can have full coverage.
There we go.
That exile.
All of the counter spells from the side.
I mean, there's only one more card that I had on this list, and that was multiple choice. And I just want to really quickly go over it, because blue players love to get 2-for-1, 3-for-1s, and 4-for-1s. You know, and or whatever. Whatever. Anything more than one is great for blue decks, I think. And this is X blue. If X is 1, you scry and draw. If X is 2, choose a player and they return a creature to their hand. X is 3, you get a 4/4 elemental token, and if it's 4 or more, you do all the same. So you do all of the above. So I could definitely see this being one of those corner case cards that, you know, people maybe have like one or two of in their deck.
So because you put it on the list, I had to evaluate this card, and here's what I went and looked through. You know, there are kind of four different modes here. So if you're casting this, it's 2 mana, you scry 1, draw a card. That is a bad card. If you cast it for
worse,
3,
it's a worse
your opponent returns a card to their hand. You don't even choose what creature, but they return a creature to their hand. If it's, you know, it can be a 4 mana 4/4, vanilla 4/4, that's not a good card for Constructed. So basically what I was saying is that I don't see you winning a game where you cast any of those first 3 modes. So you're only putting this in your deck if you can cast it as a 5 mana spell. And at a 5 mana spell, I think there's slightly better options.
Okay. I know. I'm just saying I don't have the brain of a blue player, so I just see value.
I think it's the problem is it's a sorcery, right?
Yeah, that's, you know, a 4/4 that draws a card,
in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. If it was instant, maybe it'd be a little
I think
better.
It'd be like a lot better if it's instant, because 2 mana like scry draw at instant speed is huge, right? It's like, I mean, yeah, it's opt, but like having the ability to do these other things later, it's kind of like when you can cycle a shark typhoon or whatever. Is that shark tornado or whatever? You know, part of the reason why it's good is because you can cycle it early, right, and just get a card, or cycle it later. It kind of scales, you know. And this is similar in the sense that you can use it early or scale it, you know.
If this was, you know, a 2 mana scry, it was a 2 mana opt, or it was a 3 mana bounce, or it was a 4 mana 4/4 flash, or it was a 5 mana do a bunch of things, then I'd be really into this.
Okay.
But yeah,
the sorcery,
I agree. Probably being a sorcery is what hurts this.
All right, that's the last card I want to talk about. So if you guys want to move on to black, we can do that.
All right.
I just
I'm going to start with kind of a one-off on black. Is just quickly want to go through. There's two good lessons in black. So maybe if we're looking at lessons, we might want to look at white-black, because there's a 3-mana sorcery. Additional cost, you have to exile a creature you control. Exile target creature or planeswalker. So definitely hurts that it's a sorcery. But if my free spell is going to be Hero's Downfall, I'm not too upset. Especially when it's Hero's Downfall only when I need it.
Yeah, it's exile.
Yeah. The other one here, also a sorcery, but it's X black, or black X. Choose one, return a planeswalker card with mana value X or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, or remove twice X loyalty counters from a planeswalker at opponent control. So this could pretty easily kill most planeswalkers in a deck that probably would have trouble otherwise, or you can, you know, pay, I guess, like 5 and bring back a Gideon. Maybe not terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if Gideon's what you want to be bringing back, but yeah, I mean, I think there's a number of good planeswalkers at 3 or 4 or 5.
The big one for me is the exile a creature, right? As an additional cost on the Necrotic Fumes, the Hero's Downfall. You have to, as an additional cost, you have to exile a creature you control, which makes it a lot different than Hero's Downfall. You need creatures to even cast this thing, right?
Yeah.
And like, you want to, like, is that what you want to be doing? Like, exiling one of your creatures? I mean, sure, you can make it work, right? You make a pest token or whatever, and then you exile the pest. But like, I'm just saying, like, just on its face, it feels like there's going to be those situations where you don't have a creature, right? And
yeah. Well, that's why it's less than it'll be in your sideboard, and you wouldn't cast it unless you did have a
creature. Yeah, and then you get it out, and then they kill your creature, you know? Not when you cast it. Because when you cast it, it's already over. Like, it says at additional cost, right? So if you've cast it, the creature's, you've done it, right? But what I'm saying is, like, you know.
Yeah.
It just, to me, is weird, right? Because, like, you're going to get rid of one of your creatures. Is this a throwaway creature? What does that deck look like? You can't really play this in a control deck with no creatures, right?
Well, there's a 2/1 that finds you a lesson card. Sometimes a 5-mana Hero's Downfall is exactly
5 what you mana want. Why would it be 5? Like,
okay.
Well, if you play the 2/1 that finds this card and then immediately sacrifice it to a... There are times where that might win you the game.
There's plenty. There's times
compared to a, you know, compared to a 3/3 for 2 or something like that. Which
I hear you. I totally hear you.
Now, I like going back to the other one. I like the Confront the Past. I think that there's definitely going to be more shenanigans with bringing planeswalkers back from the graveyard. We haven't really seen a lot of that type of effect in Pioneer, and I'll be interested to see how people brew with this.
Okay, let's keep going. What do you? Why don't we pass it to Jonathan here
for a black? I added this to the list as well. Sedgemoor Witch. This is 2 and a black.
Definitely.
Human Warlock. It's a 3/2, and it has menace, which is cool. 3/2 with menace for 3 mana. It's not a bad body. It has ward, pay 3 life. So whenever this creature becomes a target of spell or ability an opponent controls, counter it unless that player pays 3 life. And then it has Magecraft. Whenever you cast or copy an instant or sorcery, this is what I'm talking about with words, man. So many words. Create a 1/1 black and green, because it can just be black, pest creature token with the creature. When this creature dies, you gain 1 life. So basically, this is like a young pyromancer, right? In black, makes 1/1s whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell. And, you know, all of these kind of creatures, right, have always seen play. You know, even the 4-mana one, what was it? Like, it's a 4-mana blue one that was, like, not as good as this saw play. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know. This seems really good in, like a Mardu deck. You know, there's some Mardu pyromancer shenanigans going on in Modern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there seems to be some stuff coming together for that kind of style deck. In this format, you know, even in like a Golgari deck, you know, or a Sultai deck that plays a lot of spells, mm-hmm. like this is just not bad in general, you know, getting 1/1s for the stuff you cast, you know, if you're casting a draw spell, you get a 1/1, you know, that later gains you life. The thing I like about the pest tokens is like there's a lot of mono red going on right now in Pioneer, and having it something that blocks and gains you a life when it dies is pretty okay, you know? I'm not saying, hey, we should build pest decks, you know, or something like that. But if you just have a good card, like a young pyromancer type of card, that is just incidentally making these pests, you know, I think it's solid. I think it could definitely see play.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be afraid of getting shocked against any of those red decks. Like a 3-2 for 3 that doesn't do anything right away seems really tough.
But they have to pay 3 life.
Aggro. Yeah, and then definitely where I have problem is that, you know, this... It can't be played in the decks with Lurrus, and then any other creature deck that would be playing this, you know, I can think of it in something like a Coco, but then...
Yeah, you don't really want it in a creature deck, I don't think. And I'm fine with it getting shocked, right? They're going to pay 3 life to shock it. It's totally fine with me, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, we can't just not play X2s, you know, because of shock, you know? Especially, like, if you play this on turn 4 and then, you know, play a 1-mana spell to go with it, you know, you've already made a token... They're going to pay 3 life, get it for the shock, right?
I mean, maybe Jund.
I'm just saying, like, any spell-heavy, like, mid-range deck, Sultai,
yeah.
Jund, you know, yeah. Mardu, you know.
Yeah, you want to be playing those Assassin Trophies and those Abrupt Decays.
Right, you know, like that, even right? Things with, like, you know, Thossies, I think yeah. The old Sultai deck played, like, it was a black green card. Man, I used to play this all the time. And you look at the top 5 cards or whatever, and you put one. Yeah,
Grizzly Salvage.
Grizzly Salvage. You know, even Grizzly stuff like Salvage, that. You know, yeah. You're gonna be making pests for doing that thing. You know, so to me, like, I think it's a and you know, hey, Young Pyromancer is a 2/1. You know what I mean? Like that thing sees so much like you know, play in Eternal formats because of the because of the power level and the fact that you have like. Very low costed spells and free spells and stuff like that, but still something like this I feel like could definitely see play in Pioneer.
Got it.
Okay,
all right, my turn then. Next,
yeah, go ahead.
I like Baleful Mastery. It's a 4-mana instant, but it says you can pay 2 mana, 1 and a black, rather than pay the spell's mana cost. And if you pay the 2 mana instead of the 4 mana, an opponent gets to draw a card. And the effect is you get a 2-mana instant effect that exiles a target creature or planeswalker. I'm more than happy to pay, you know, or sorry, to give my opponent a card to exile a planeswalker, you know, on as soon as possible, or a creature as soon as possible. And I kind of see this as like, you know, Deck in Stone will give an opponent a clue. You know what I mean? It'll give them card advantage for you being able to exile their you know, card at 2 mana, and I think that's more than fine. If you're casting it for 2 mana, if you need to cast it for 2 mana to get rid of something, I think that giving them a card is more than acceptable as a trade-off.
Yeah, wait, why isn't this a white card?
What'd you say?
Why isn't this a white card?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I think that it's probably okay. I don't think that it's, you know, like strictly going to replace something. It's certainly not replacing Fatal Push.
No.
You know, it seems like there's a lot of kind of playable 2-mana removal spells. Maybe this could, you know, take the spot of a Heartless Act in a deck or take the spot of something like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Maybe.
I mean, some people are playing like the Blood Chief's Thirst as well, you know, and I'd rather, instead of doing like 4 push and like 2 of those, I would just rather just do this instead of paying like or playing Eliminate or like you said, Heartless Act. So that's where I would see it being played.
Yeah, I think it replaces a Heartless Act or an Eliminate, but I'm not sure it replaces the Blood Chiefs, right? Because I think it goes back to that 1-mana thing. Like there's a reason why the Blood Chiefs in there are not Heartless Act and not, you know, Eliminate. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's the one mana
difference, but yeah, you know, in those decks where you know 2's good, 2 mana is good, you know, I feel like yeah, I looked at this card, I was like on the fence, like I like it, I think most of the time, like you know, it's okay to give him a card, I guess, you know, you're getting a powerful effect, you're exiling a creature or a planeswalker, right, you know,
yeah. I mean, you can always just pay 4 if you don't want them to get the card. But if you need it on that turn 2 or turn 3 before you have the 4 mana, then, you know, pay it then.
Yeah, that's tough. Maybe if you can tempo them. So maybe, again, that's kind of these, like, kind of going into giving some new decks some tempo, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe you're making them draw cards with Rankle, and you make them draw a card with this, and they're just like, what do I do with all these cards?
I mean, I know for me, in my Waste Not deck, I always run out of cards in my opponent's hand to make them discard, so I'd be more than happy.
We're going real corner case here, Ryan. I might have to move on.
Okay.
I don't know if we want to talk about the Liliana. You know, there's a 6-mana Liliana. She doesn't win you the game, and she's 6 mana. I just included her because she's a mythic and a planeswalker, but I don't have much to say about her.
Lose 2 life whenever they cast a spell?
And whenever you cast a spell, you like drain for 2. You can basically draw a card from your top 3 is okay. You know, you put the rest in the graveyard, that's nice. But it's basically, you know, +1 draw a card, -3 to start a creature, except it's 6 mana instead of 5, and that's kind of it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in my black-red Waste Not deck.
There we go.
Sorry.
We'll play Obnixilis instead if you were looking for this kind of effect. It's 1 mana cheaper.
Yeah.
And Obnixilis is not seeing play.
Yeah.
There's one more card here that I don't know if has a home yet, but is a very interesting card that I kind of just wanted to go over, was Plum the Forgiven. It's 1 black instant. As initial cost, you sacrifice a creature if you want. So you may sacrifice 1 or more creatures. When you do, copy it for each creature sacrificed. So if you copy it 0 times, it's just draw a card, you lose a life. But if you sacrifice a creature, then it's draw 2 cards, lose 2 life, and it counts as 2 Magecraft triggers if you have anything that triggers off of Magecraft. So that's what's interesting. You know, it might be playable in something alongside like Pyromancer, maybe the Sedge War Witch, something like that. If you can, you know, copy it 4 times, get a bunch more creatures off of Sedgemoor Witch, get 1 off of Pyromancer, draw 4 cards. Maybe there's something there. And it is an instance, so you could do it in response to a board wipe and just, you know, all of your creatures become cards.
Again, any Jund sacrifice, I could definitely see possibly playing this on top of the 3/2 Knight zombie that draws you cards as well, you know, when a creature dies.
Well, that's a deck that does want to be playing Collected Company, though, so you kind of have to...
Well, some of those Jund sacrifices do not play Collected Company, right? I think I saw one with Corvo.
Yeah,
like
I think I've seen versions that don't. Yeah,
does not play Collected Company. Hmm. Yeah. There are some that are the loaded ground ones that play Collected Company, more and then mid-range. There's the other ones that are, seem like more of like a mid range Corvo deck. I think this fits in that pretty well. Just seems like a cool card for that kind of build. Especially the ones without Collected Company, because, like, you know, the more non-creature cards that you have in a Collected Company deck, the harder it is to hit, right? Did we blow by Liliana, by the way?
No, we just talked about
her. Yeah, I kind of blew by her. I was saying, if you've got anything to say about her, go ahead and say it. But I was saying, I mean, she's 6 mana.
So you don't think she could see playing, like, in the blue-black Dimir control decks? Like...
Maybe, yeah.
At sorcery speed, I just think there's no reason you'd play this over, you know, another Gear Hulk or a something else.
Yeah, Shark Typhoon, Gear Hulk, and her. Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I guess that's the question, right? Is it just better than Shark Typhoon? Is it better?
Is she better than, you know, Obnixilis at 1 feet?
I heard
mana,
you talk about the Obnixilis. Yeah, I think she's better than those. Jesus, yeah, because I think, like, if she sticks around, everything you do just pings your opponent, right? Like if you play a draw spell, they get dinged, right? Like if you play, you know, Behold the Multiverse, they get shot, right? They get shocked and you gain 2. Like either they need to remove it or like they die, right? Just over the next, you know, 2 or 3 turns as you're casting spells. It's like when there's a planeswalker that gives this kind of emblem, and it's just like once that happens, it's like, well, the inevitability is there, right? And so obviously this is not an emblem. You can remove this planeswalker, but to me, it's like this could be like the top end of a Dimir control deck. I remember when playing Dimir Inverter, there were so many times where like you just get to this point where their resources are sapped, and you know you could easily slam a planeswalker and be like, all right, and just ride it to victory, right? Like there are so many times I played a Jace and just won from the Jace, you know. And it's like, you know, is this harder to kill than Jace? Probably, you know, like, I don't know. I think it has viability in those kind of decks. I don't know if it's better than a Gear Hulk, but, you know.
Okay, I could see it being strong if you're ahead. My worry would be, you know, if you're taking a turn off and going, you know, shields down for a turn for this card.
Yeah, but you're like a control deck. So, like, if they have one creature, right? And then you're like, if you've whittled them down and they're like, they play a creature, you untap, you play this, sacrifice your creature, go. Like, they have to remove this, right? Because if they don't remove it, then when you come back, you're going to play a draw spell, play a removal spell, play a counter spell. They're going to get hit for two. You're going to gain two. Then you're going to up plus it. And then it's just going to go, like, downhill from there, right? Maybe you're going to Thoughtseize them, or maybe, you know.
Well, unless if it's like, okay, they finally tapped, you know, I've been beating in with my whatever creature, and they finally tapped out for a Planeswalker, I get to slam Niv-Mizzet and win the game. Like, I just don't know if that deck can afford to take the shields off to play a
You get Niv-Mizzet, right? And that means you draw a bunch of cards, but, like, I have a Liliana right now, you know what I mean? Like, you don't win the game as soon as you play Niv-Mizzet. Mm-hmm. Sure, you pull ahead in the resources, right? But, like, that doesn't win the game. Am I right, or is it, like, you know, because you now have a Liliana, they have a Niv-Mizzet. You kill their Niv-Mizzet, right? I mean, sure, they could kill your Liliana probably with what they drew off Niv-Mizzet, but you know, you still drained them, you know?
Yeah.
Like...
All right, you're higher on this card than I am. You know, mostly I'm pretty low.
We'll
on
see.
It, but...
We'll see. We'll have a pie bet.
We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm interested to see. This is one we'll have to come back to. anything else in black for you guys? Because we can move on to red.
Yeah, I'm fine with red. I only have like one card I really want to talk about in red, and then we can skip the rest if you want.
Sure. What did you have in red?
Oh,
if you want to jump.
So the ultimate Timmy card, Crackle with Power. It's XXX red red. It's a sorcery, and it deals 5x X damage to each of up to X targets. So if you just pay 5 mana, it deals 5 damage to one target. But if you pay 8 mana, it deals 10 damage to two targets. So that could be like one Planeswalker and one player. Or an EDH can be 10 damage, 10 damage. And then, of course, if you pay, 11 mana, then you're dealing 15 damage to three targets. And it just it's like the ultimate Timmy Burn spell, to be honest. And like, for me, I was thinking about this with a card like the Pyromancer's Goggles, I think. I think that's when that, like, you add one red mana and then it doubles the effect, and then, you know, if you do that for 8 mana, basically you're doing it for 7 mana, and you deal 20 damage, you win the game.
So you can deal 15 damage to 6 targets.
Is it 15 damage to 6 targets?
Well, no, you could do the same 2 targets twice.
Oh, yeah.
I think you called it correctly with EDH is where I would put this.
Yeah, I wonder, like, who put this on the list.
There was a, like, deck in Standard.
What are we doing here?
There was a deck in Standard with Pyromancer's Goggles. It was good.
Yeah, I loved Pyromancer's Goggles in Standard. Brad Nelson tried to make it work, but there's a reason we're not playing Pyromancer's Goggles right now. Okay. I think Fall of the Titans is better than this. Ooh. That one's an instant.
Is that hit players as well, or is that just Planeswalkers and creatures?
No, that one hits players.
Okay. It's instant speed, right?
He said it was. Yep. I'm not familiar with the Fall of the Titan card, but
yeah. Yeah, this one scales up more, though, I think. It scales up better with the double and then triple the more and more mana you get.
Sure.
Tell me what deck this is in. Tell me what deck this goes in.
Stop now.
It's a new deck.
There's the question I'm supposed to be asking. What deck does this go in?
It goes in green, red, Pyromancer's Goggles.
Okay. Who other than me plays Pyromancer's Goggles, right?
There we go. So that's the only card I wanted to talk about. You guys can do whatever else in red.
I don't have much. You know, there's another lesson in learn. There's a 3 damage to any target for 3 mana sorcery as a learn card. So, you know, if that's 3 mana draw a card, maybe I'm interested. If it's 3 mana draw less than a card, then I'm probably not interested. There's also a lesson card I'm mildly interested in. Again, like, you know, if you're kind of, as a toolbox, 4 mana lesson, discard a number of cards, draw that many cards. If there's 7 or more cards in your graveyard, you make a 3/2.
It might be something that you could play in Phoenix. I don't know. I mean, discard.
We just need a learn card. A learn card that does that, you know, does this, you know.
Yeah.
I wish they would have put, like, they have some of these modal, like, command spells and stuff. I wish they would have put, like, learn as one of the command modes, right? That would have been cool because then you can have a modal spell that's like actually a spell, but you can also like choose to learn. I think it would have given you more, flexibility and kind of like more interest in the mechanic.
Yeah, especially when the blue red one already has discard and draw.
Yeah, so like instead of discard and draw, it was just learn in that slot. That would have been insane, right? Because then I would have definitely. I already think that card's good for Phoenix, anyways. And then like having this lesson in the sideboard, pile it on, you know.
Let's do it. All right. Anything else in red?
Nothing that I really need to talk about. If anybody listening at home has some ideas on what red cards could see play, though, definitely hit us up in our Discord later.
I mean, somebody added Grinning Ignus. I know that people, I think, in Historic were more looking at this. Like, you know, it's 3 mana. You pay a red and return to your hand. You add 3, you know, 2 and a red to your mana pool as a sorcery. So you could play this with Bergy and cast him any number of times. If you have also Steam Cannon play, then you'd be making mana each time. Maybe that's a thing. I'm not exactly sure what you do with that, though. You know, we don't have the Storm cards like Historic does, so I don't see any big way to win off of that. You need at least 1 or 2 more cards in order to win the game.
It was neat to see it reprinted, though. I'll say that.
Yeah. All right, we've got one more color before we can go into multicolor.
All right, green. Green's probably second strongest, maybe compared to white, I think.
That's reasonable. Do you want me to start off with the lessons and learns again?
Sure.
Because there's a few here, and I know I've just been kind of running through them. So there's a Gnarled Professor, a tree folk druid. I didn't realize that was what that was. Okay, cool. So it's a 4 mana 5/4 trample, which is a reasonable card, and when it enters the battlefield, you learn. So if that's a 4 mana 5/4 trample that draws a card, I think that is a good card. If it's better than draw a card because it's a toolbox, you know, again, kind of how I've been rating these. It's like, depending on how good learn is, these might be good cards, or they're not good enough to be a card. And as far as some lessons in green, we've got a 3 mana sorcery. Look at the top 6, find a creature among them, and put it into your hand, and you gain 3 life. That's kind of cool. There's one more lesson here that someone added. You know, it's 3 mana, search for a forest, put into play, learn. So again, like, you know, you could be searching for an extra forest with Nissa's Pilgrimage or Cultivate. If searching for a free land is better than the learn card, then obviously you wouldn't play this, but maybe if there's some deck that wants both or wants this, then it could be usable.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sold on Field Trip so much. Like I said, I'd rather just have Nissa's Pilgrimage, I think. But, you know, in a similar vein, I'm really liking Emergent Sequence.
Let me say a little bit about Field Trip. It's just like in these mono green decks, right? Part of the problem sometimes is not having the gas, right? Not having the thing to cast and the big thing. And I think like something like Field Trip, right? If you're running 4 Field Trips and then you have that learn card in your sideboard that like is like 7 mana, make a bunch of creatures, right? Like, it's like 8 power or something like that for 7 mana or whatever. I mean, like on its face, it's not the greatest, right? But if you fetch it off of a Field Trip, like could be reasonable, right?
Honestly, that's a good point. You know, a lot of those things like, you know, Nissa's Pilgrimage is sometimes just dead in the late game if you're playing a true ramp deck.
Yeah.
You know, we don't really have true ramp decks. We've kind of got, you know, ramp to 4 mana like and play a Planeswalker that wins the game. But yeah, if we had one that was trying to play something like an Ulamog, this helps. You were talking earlier about how some decks have like, okay, you drew all your ramp enablers, you didn't draw your ramp payoff. Those decks have a lot of problem with this. Even if you're just playing this and discarding an extra forest and drawing a card, that might make this better.
I think it's not something you should sneeze at. Like, I like, because what I was saying about the learn mechanic is like in like a aggro deck or like something where you want to like get in a short like window, you want to put a lot of pressure in. The learn mechanic to me feels very slow and sluggish, right? But in decks that want more time, the learn mechanic feels better, right? Because like something like this, you're going to be ramping anyways, so it's like part of your plan, and you can get that payoff for later, right? Which is cool to me. Or you can cycle, like, you know, just loot or whatever. And so like in the decks that like want to loot, in decks that want to like have half a card later, like for value, right? More value based decks than tempo decks, right? Those decks, I think the learn mechanic is something that should be explored, right?
Or hey, maybe even you want something in your graveyard. This could be, you know, you'll play this in a green black reanimator deck and discard a big creature to return later.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all kinds of things. And then if you look at the learn cards with that, the lesson cards with that in mind, then it's different, right? Some of them are like, you know, this could fit in this kind of deck or this kind of style, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. You were starting to say, Ryan, about emergent sequence. I'm going to pass it back to you on that.
Now, we haven't really had a Nature's Reclamation or Kodama's Reach or anything like that at two mana. We don't even have Farseek in the format. So, like... Yeah. Seeing a two mana sorcery that puts a land into play tapped instead of putting it into your hand like everything else in the format does was really interesting for me. And
so it does only find basics. Basics. So just real quick, the card. So you search for a basic land card, put it into play. It becomes a 0/0 green and blue fractal creature that's still a land. You put a +1/+1 counter on it for each land that entered the battlefield under your control this turn. So assuming you play a land, play this. It's a 2/2 that can tap for mana. So in a way, it's just a mana dork, but it can be bigger if you have multiple land drops, and it can also, you know, it does count as a land that helps with some things.
The drawback, I would say that is it can be killed.
Yeah, it can be killed. So it does play more like a mana dork than a ramp spell, but I think that it is still pretty cool regardless.
Yeah, so I'm interested in seeing how this, you know, could fit into some of, you know, decks in Pioneer. I don't think all the ramp decks will want to play it, but I think there's some that might.
Do we have Scapeshift like in the format?
And maybe it can bring back Omnath.
Yes.
So you could like Scapeshift and then play this, and then get like a huge creature and then untap it with Nissa, right, and attack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think. Yeah, Nissa gives haste. That would work. I think so. No, I don't think Nissa can target
creatures.
Oh, that's right.
It's non-land creature, right? Non-creature land, right?
Or non-creature land.
Yeah. Oh, is it?
Is it? No, maybe it just puts three counters on it.
Or even, you know, what's cool.
It becomes a creature.
I'm pretty sure Nissa says non-creature land.
Yeah.
What is cool with emergent sequence is, like, if you go, you know, turn four, Fabled Passage, crack it, play two of these. You know, the first one will be a 3/3, the second one will be a 4/4.
Fabled Passage, nice. That's a nice...
And you'll have six mana next turn if you wanted it.
I mean, not that we want to, we're not trying to break
maybe
it, right? I mean, it's a rampant growth. I mean, come on. But still, you know.
Yeah.
After my example got shot down, I'm not letting anybody break it, you know. Non-creature land you control. Yeah, Nissa is non-creature land. All right. Got him.
You got to get those corner cases. All right, what else you guys have in green here? Or should I go with one? Out.
I mean, if you want to go ahead. I have one or two. But...
I mean, I liked Bayou Groff. I don't know if it... You know, I haven't heard it talked about much, but just a 2-mana 5/4 that in order to cast it, you can sacrifice a creature or pay 3. Kind of cool. You know, you can still collect a company into it if you just want a 2-mana 5/4. I mean, obviously the problem is you couldn't really play it turn 2 very easily. You know, you wouldn't want to sack a creature that you played turn 1.
Unless it was a Stitcher supplier.
Yeah, and I just don't... I'm not quite sure what that deck looks like, that you're playing Stitcher Supplier and then a card that has nothing to do with the graveyard.
Yeah.
But I think that this might... You know, it's just an interesting card.
Ornithopter's in the format, right?
I don't have to go too deep on it.
Huh.
Yeah, but that... You know, then you're discarding a card. Like, I don't want to pay two cards for this.
I mean, don't we have, like, an infinite Zulaport deck with the pod thing and, like, the...
Oh, there we go. Okay, yeah, that could work. I could go Blister Pod into this.
Yeah, so what was it? The white Eldrazi that... but we don't have any...
Oh, you talking about Eldrazi Displacer combo?
Yeah, exactly.
That's
probably
not going to fit this card.
Is that mechanic from War of the Spark that made a zombie when you did something like... you bounce something and you make a one... What is it? It's like... It's supposed to be like an army, a zombie, a mass... We need a mass cards. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, a mass cards. Yeah, there's
we
like
need a
two
mana
mass
card. Is there a 1-mana mass card?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's what we need. We need a 1-mana mass card. We make
so.
The zombie. We do the thing, and then we play this and get a 5/4 paid off, right there.
All right. Anything else in green from you guys?
No. I mean, here's the thing, you know, we're coming up on, we're over already at over an hour. Do you guys want to take a break here and then come back and do the other one, the rest of the cards later?
All right, guys, I think I am going to just jump in here as we're finishing up the green cards and say that, you know, we're at 70 minutes. This is usually where we like to end our show, kind of at the latest end. I think I'm going to have to be the one to call time and say that we were going to finish all of the multicolored cards and artifacts lands in the following episode. So we're going to go ahead and do that next week. Does that sound okay?
That sounds good.
All right, so guys, hopefully, you know, 70 minutes, you guys enjoyed listening. You're still enjoying. We've got plenty more to talk about that you will see from us next week, as well as we'll be tweeting out some deck lists, some other interesting things online. Best place to follow us to get your Pioneer news is at MTG Pioneer on Twitter. You can also find a link to our Discord there if you want to communicate with us, post any kind of commentary, anything you like, listen in on shows, lots of fun. Jonathan, if you want to give your information.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Medina_MTG. Medina is spelled M-E-D-I-N-A. And if you want, you can come watch me stream on Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights at 7, I do a pack opening stream, which is a lot of fun. We've been opening a lot of Time Spiral Remastered. So just come on by there. My Twitch is twitch.tv/MedinaStreams, all one word. So Medina, M-E-D-I-N-A, streams.
All right, and you can also find Ryan at the Japan Hobbyist on Twitter. I think that's the Twitter, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah,
he stepped away for a second. So go ahead and follow him as well if you are not already, just so that you've got everything going on with Pioneer. So his Twitter handle is Yoshwenky at Yoschwenky, and that's about it. So guys, if you enjoyed this content, there will be more of it next week, as well as every week, because we are the First Pioneer Podcast, and we are your go-to place for Pioneer information online. Signing off.